Hi guys, welcome to the Meal Deals podcast. My name is Eric Wang and I'm here with
Rafael Perez
and Victoria Pham.
So we're back at it with episode number 9, and this week's topic is how to healthfully use social media. So Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, Snapchat, Twitter, Friendster. That was not in my era.
What's that called? That old social media.
Tumblr?
MySpace.
Yes. Do people still use Tumblr? I heard Tumblr is dying though, right?
Yeah, only because porn went away, but that's not what we're going to talk about. Yeah.
We could talk about that in another episode. Oh, Reddit? I use Reddit.
Oh, Reddit. Well, I mean, do you consider Reddit as a social media?
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what do you think social media is?
Yeah.
Well, something like, I always think of like something like the top one, which is like Instagram, Twitter and Facebook. Like those are like more like, you know, you post your own feed, you know, they giving out your thoughts. Like, yeah, you can do that on Reddit too, but also like it was like it's more, I like Reddit is like more,
I don't know, I think that you're I think you're underestimating Reddit a little.
Yeah,
bit
people get, yeah, people
a
get
lot of people are on
people
there.
People get addicted to Reddit. Like I hear people in their workplace, they just go on Reddit all the
low
time.
Low key, I'm addicted to Reddit.
You probably are, because like
I spend a lot of my time on Reddit.
You guys don't notice, you guys won't notice. We have a group chat, just text messaging group chat, and Victoria always sends like posts from Reddit.
Yeah.
Like, it's either 80% like of cats and dogs, or like the other 20% is like something like just career, like
well, dogs
advice.
In general, right?
Or yeah, just, like,
yeah.
I have a huge obsession with the subreddit like eye bleach and awe and just like dogs, dogs in general.
Because you want to get a dog, but I keep advising. I mean, you do you, but it's really hard to take care of a dog.
Yeah.
Maybe a dog owner is already used to it, but like, I wouldn't want to pick up another animal's shit.
Yeah.
So
I think that Reddit, in terms of social media, though, has it's the least offensive, or at least people don't use it in a very unhealthy way. I think that Instagram is the most unhealthy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's less unhealthy than Instagram for sure.
Yeah.
I think it's because Reddit is more textual. Mm-hmm. So, like, people who are willing to read text, they're cool with it. But for most people, they're too lazy, so they look at visual stuff like Instagram.
Yeah.
Or, like, Facebook is visual. But, like, Facebook is kind of, like, half and half to me.
Probably that's what I was going for. When it comes to Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, it's more of, like, it more focuses on you, yourself, and your private life. While more, like, Reddit, it's just more of like just topics that you really want to go up to, you know?
Yeah, that's true. You're right.
Yeah, that's why I meant by like the social media, or what I think of social media. It's more like, you know, you follow specific people instead of like a group of people, you know? Because Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, you follow that one person and you want to know about everything what that person is doing, or at least what they display and what they're doing. Mm. While like Reddit is more of like, oh, you just look up a topic or
join a community.
Exactly.
Yeah, Reddit's more anonymous. Exactly. I get what you're saying, because like when you're, like you said, when you're on Instagram or like Facebook, Twitter, you're trying to follow someone personal.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that gives you the pressure to showcase your best self. Where on Reddit, it's kind of like most of the time you don't have any repercussions about like explaining some personal things or asking for advice. You know, that's why there's so many subreddits on Reddit about asking like for help, or like, this is my story. Like, how should I deal with it? Or just sharing their life experience.
Right.
Then if they were to, like, share on Instagram or, like, Twitter or Facebook, they will get a different response.
Yeah, and that's why a lot of people tend to have anxiety and, in some cases, depression, only because they look at other people's stories and other people's photos from Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter, saying, like, oh, their life is probably better than mine. Because that definitely focused more in-depth on their personal profile.
I think what's so interesting, bringing Reddit and Instagram together, there's this one subreddit called Instagram Reality, or Instagram versus Reality, and it shows how, you know, people on Instagram, a lot of it is just kind of Photoshop, and I mean, that's nothing new, everybody knows that, but there's still this weird idea of combining the idea of being your best self at the same time of photoshopping yourself and editing yourself to not look like you anymore. Mm-hmm. And in that way, that is just so compelling to me, how people can be aware of that fact, but they'll still try to mirror or emulate a person on Instagram. Like, you see all these like Fitspo girls. I'm not saying that like fitness, I mean, we talked about fitness before, so I'm not against, you know, people posting pictures of themselves, posting pictures of progress, but there's like a fine line where you're posting a picture of progress and at the same time you're kind of pretending that you made that you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that do that, so I'm not sure.
I think what social media, we all agree that social media can't exploit us. It's in our human nature to try to like compare ourselves to others and like show us our best mm-hmm. selves. But what social media does, because back then, before social media, seeing this reality, like keeping up with the Joneses, is that how mm-hmm, how the analogy yeah. goes? So like if you see across your neighborhood and that person has like a better car, a better house than you, then the analogy you think of in keeping up with the Joneses is that you feel like you need to keep up with them, like how to get the better car, a better mm-hmm. house. But that was just between you and the other person, or maybe your neighbor. But now with social media, you connect yourself with across like the whole world.
Yeah.
So it's really scary. You putting yourself as a person and comparing yourself to one of an anomaly in the world,
mm-hmm.
but social media makes it seem like it's normal. So it's really scary when you think about it like that. If you're like, let's say like for fitness, you're still trying to like work with your own progress, but you compare yourself with other people who looks like they make it look easy, mm-hmm. and it's for some people that see that on social media, it makes them really insecure. So I would say it just only hyper exaggerates like our inner like social manners of how we interact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a good side and a bad side, but definitely it's really easy to get to the bad side.
Yeah, kind of related to that. It's like it also sometimes when it comes to social media, you are, and this happens all the time when there's this thing of trolling, where it puts you on the different mask when, you know, you can comment on someone else's post and basically shit on them, on like who they are, whatever, you know? And it gives you, quote unquote, the power of saying whatever you want, but there's something that you wouldn't do in their face in real life.
Makes sense.
It gives them, yeah, you're saying that social media gives people a sense of power that they're able to...
We're not act on, not sense of power, but also but a sense of capabilities. But yeah, you're right. Yeah,
as opposed to like being capable of doing that in real life.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I think of Mean Girls. Like when they talk shit, they talk shit about you either behind your back or they do it like indirectly. But like social media, you don't have to face them face to face. You could just use a keyboard and talk all the shit you want.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like, that's why cyberbullying can be a big issue, especially with social media so present. Like, you could talk so much shit on, like, some anonymous account. And then, like, for most part, people won't try to find out. Or people won't find out who you are. And I think that's the power social media has that makes people, like, just normal people lash out. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So,
yeah.
I think social media, it's a scary part about that.
I don't know. I think the biggest problem that I have with using Instagram or Facebook or any kind of communication through a platform like that is a lot of the things that used to be really, really weird, fucking weird, is so normalized now. And I'm guessing it's because everyone just sees it all the time and they just think to themselves, oh, that's weird. And then they keep scrolling on. And it becomes part of their... It just becomes a part of the Rolodex in their mind. Of, oh yeah, this is normal now. It's normalized. And I don't know. Like, obviously, bullying and cyberbullying is wrong. But now, it's almost non-existent. I haven't heard about any cyberbullying happening on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter so far. But I think it's because people are already insecure themselves. They don't even need to be bullied to get there anymore.
Yeah, like, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, it's crazy. Because insecurity is almost it's the norm now. It's not even almost. Mm-hmm. It's the norm. You start off insecure, and then you go on these platforms, and you become more insecure until, like, you feel so shitty about yourself that you change, or you feel so shitty about yourself that, like, you don't do anything else. And it's, I don't know, it's crazy how... cyberbullying and bullying, it used to be a thing back in like the 2000s, and then mm-hmm. there was a whole bullying movement, and then now
and it's
now
just
it's,
like
it's stopped it, yeah, and now it's just become
I think,
new norm.
No, and that what I was about to mention too, that like I think also the fact that there was this anti-bullying movement, I think it also actually taught the kids well. I think because I haven't seen bullying cases at least around me. Mm-hmm. So if you guys have any example of that, you guys can contact us about that. But like, yeah, it's just like I think the anti-bullying movement definitely shut down the whole bullying and cyberbullying. Like they made like they even made it a whole movie about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I watched
like,
that movie.
It was like I remember it was on ABC, and then like it was like this girl was like trying to open that like pill bottle, but like they luckily the parent came in and was like,
yeah,
holy shit, like what the fuck are you doing? Like it, stop that. And
yeah,
like,
it sucks that that became a meme though.
You what was that one movie I told you about? I think you watched it too, Rafa. It was about or you also Victoria. It's like the movie about this gay guy, but who was the, like. He never announced he was gay, and he was in a
closet. Oh, Love, Simon?
Love, Simon.
No, oh, I never watched that movie.
I never watched that movie. I just saw the ending.
Oh, okay. Like- if you guys don't know, I was on a vacation trip, and the only TV movies we were able to watch that kept rerunning was, I think, Zootopia. I forgot. And then Love, Simon.
Zootopia?
Zootopia. Yeah. And Love, Simon. And then my friend, he was like, yo, Love, Simon is, like, pretty tough. I was like, okay, we have nothing to do. But it was like in 144p, which was horrible, and we watched it. But I think that was, not gonna lie, I feel like even though those movies were trying to like portray like what people can use, the power of like malicious intentions, like how they can maliciously use social media, like text messages and like sharing posts on Facebook. And then now you say in reality, you don't really see that as much. It's more of just like, yeah, we're all just insecure. Yeah.
Yeah, and, because... Like, people, with bullying, it taught people to feel insecure about themselves. Now bullying doesn't even need to exist for people to feel that way anyway.
Honestly, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, even worse, with social media now, ads are just thrown in your face for everything.
Oh, yeah.
If you like any influencer, I hate that fucking word.
Influencer. I don't like that word either, yeah.
If you like anyone that has a huge following, they're going to get sponsored and they're going to have to sell you something, right? And it sucks because especially, and I'm not saying all fitness trainers or fitness models, but a lot of them, you know, with the big ass and the big thighs, we already know, we can already picture like Kim Kardashian types, they're always selling like tummy tees or like waist trainers.
Wasn't there this like lollipop though, like, or like this diet lollipop, like, hey,
yeah, it's in yeah,
I've never heard of this.
Mm-hmm, it's with the same company that made the tea, so but they're all laxatives, that's the thing.
Oof.
Did you know that?
I know nothing about that. Honestly, I know nothing about the female female influencer side of the athletic community.
Like, I know it was like fucked up, really, to like they were advertising like these type of like what they advertised and portrayed themselves as, like, oh, it's such a healthy diet, but like mm-hmm. in reality, just like it just fucks you up, you know.
Well, quick side note, if anyone wants to actually lose weight, it's all about the caloric deficit. You shouldn't be drinking all of those, like, because those are all fad diets anyway, like drinking any kind of protein powder that's supposed to make you skinnier or anything that gets rid of stubborn fat. That's another thing. Like, you can't lose fat in a certain place.
I don't want to, like, get this into a big rabbit hole. When you guys don't go on YouTube, have you guys ever watched that YouTube ad about, like, this person who's, like, overweight and has, like, a lot of, like, fat on the side, and they have, like, this dress that, like, fixes...
Yeah.
Yo, I just see that, and
I see that on television.
You know what I'm talking about? No, it's like this one. It's like, you always have like this fat too, and then have this dress, and like it just like covers everything.
Yeah. It's like a tube, right?
Yeah.
Put on. Yeah.
I see that all the time. It annoys me, but like, I don't know why. But that you mentioned in that remind me of that.
I feel like there's so many facets about social media that are really unhealthy, and I think that if we were to keep going, we would probably talk about for like 3 hours mm-hmm. because there's a whole like body positive movement that I don't necessarily agree with, and then there's also just people being addicted to social media so badly mm-hmm. that they can't go a day without their phone, and that also has the implications of technology addiction as well mm-hmm. and just the sexualization and like being normalized to having to women having like huge tits or like a huge ass. Like there's so many things. There's several things that we can talk about.
I have a question for you guys. What was that question? sorry, it's just like
you lost train of thought.
Yeah, I lost my train of thought. But what does? Okay, now I have my question now. what does being addicted to social media look like? Because to be honest, every time I think of addiction, I always think of, you know, drugs and drinking. You know, it fucks them up. And then, like, when I hear people say, like, oh, I'm addicted to social media, it'd be like, I need to look up the posts and stuff.
Briefly mentioned that if you can't go a day without social media, then I feel like there's at least some little problem in there.
Yeah. The only thing is that it's so... I keep using the word normal, but it's true. People constantly being on their phones, that's just a new normal thing.
It's crazy. Like, you're in a public situation, and then you don't know the person, or, like, people don't know each other, so they just go to automatically their phones.
Yeah.
Or, like, to me, when I see it... So, like, we talked about it, how to de-stress, I think, believe in the How to De-Stress podcast or so, about, like, stimuli. And, like, social media really gets you stimulated. And then what makes you want to, like, keep searching for information on social media. I see people around me in my class or people that I knew prior and, like, back at Kappa, when we do homework or when we do projects that are pretty frustrating, like, really difficult, you have to get through that wall to try to search for it. Where in social media, it's, like, there, like, instant access. So what people do, I see that. I will admit, I used to do that, too. When I'm working on something really hard, I'm just like, my brain is like, I really don't want to put in this effort. But, like, my phone's right there. Like, Instagram, like, just, like, take a short peek, like, a quick peek, and you look at social media, and it's, like, super easy to get that information. Yeah. Believe it or not, you saying, like, oh, it's just, like, Instagram. You're just looking at it. But, like, in your brain, like, neurologically, you're just trying to find something less uncomfortable. It's easy to get that access of information.
Yeah.
Where, like, on homework and, like, projects, it's hard to make stuff up or, like, create stuff. I see that all the time, like, especially in my math class, when my math professor is, like, explaining stuff, and my classmates, they're just like, they don't know how to do the problem. He's just like, well, I'm done. I'm just looking up social media.
Yeah.
Until, like, the person solves it. And I see that all the time. So I would say the reason why we want to talk about this podcast episode about how to healthily use social media is that we all believe there's that inherent problem in social media that can exploit us. But if I think we can share some experiences about how you, the experiences you had using social media in a bad way and how you use social media in a good way. Because I've had both.
Yeah. It actually, now you were talking about, like, just by, through this conversation, now it reminds me of, like, now that social media is now a really important part of our lives to the point that it can actually, like, affect your work life. Or, I guess you can say your application. So when, like, you know, you start applying for this job, especially a very important job, like, I don't experience this, like, personally, but a lot of people say, like, oh, their employers look at your, like, social media account.
Yeah, they do.
And, like, you know, because, like, now, since everyone has social media, they want to know how you act in social media and everything like that. And there was this case where like, this employer who also had his own social media, who literally posted a picture of, like, one of the applicants, her bikini and everything, and would just be like, this is, like, now how to, like, apply for a job or, like, or something like that. Actually, it's something like, oh, if you're applying for a job, make sure you don't post this on social media. And use, like, one of the applicants as an example. And, applicant was, like, what the fuck, like, you know, like, who, like, you can't do this, you know? It was like, I think they'll start suing him or something like that, but it was like, it was such a big thing, like, throughout, like, well, not really that big, but it was like, it was a whole controversy that happened.
I think that's taken off scale for that. I feel like that guy is in the wrong, even though that's like a good reason to be careful what you post on social media, but not that specific post. I think, like, he's in the wrong. I think he's just taking it way out of scale. If it's like, if like a person is just in a bikini, just like at the beach, but compared to like someone like, you see like clips of her, I don't know, like saying something very, very, I don't know.
Vulgar, controversial.
Controversial, something like that. Then that can be argued. But this one, I don't really see.
Yeah, like, and then like he posted like, to everyone of this specific applicant, which I thought it was very weird.
But see, that doesn't make sense, because if anyone was scrolling down Instagram and saw this employer, people would be like, why is this employer posting this random applicant?
Yeah,
you know, and it shows that why is social media considered, there has to be certain requirements that you have to post on social media. Like, you have to be this clean-cut person. You can't be posting pictures of yourself in a bikini. Why has social media become part of an applicant's viability, you know, or their ability to work in the company? That's what I never understood.
I think it's just a worry of HR and personal relationships. Yeah, I think the problem is why people who the CEO or like HR care about what applicants or their employees put on social media is that they're worried about
the image, definitely
the personal image of the company, or for two, like stock value, like company value. Because I guess in a business perspective, if you look through a company's like CEO or like HR, the head of resources, they want to make sure the company does the best as they like most effectively can. And one of the ways they look at it is like how loyal are the employees, or like are the employees like keeping up a good image? Because we don't want to have employees that say, for example, they have a company who's like politically who like supports a certain like politic or politician or some sort of like side, right?
Yeah.
And then you say like there's an employee who argues totally against that, or like they say something that's offensive. They don't want to have that person under their name. So that's why people are so afraid to look at, to hire people if they have something that's a little controversial in their social media.
Yeah, but the thing is like, well, it depends on, don't get me wrong, it definitely depends on the person and like how they speak about that controversial things and things like that. But the thing is that everyone's forgetting that we're all humans, you know?
Exactly.
Like, it's just like, we're all like, you know, we may have to say dumb things and stuff like that, but I don't think it should be a big of a deal, especially when it comes to like the cancel culture. When it comes to like, you know, that going back to that, I don't know if you guys remember, but this Google employee wrote out this memo about like how I guess you can say like a lot of people thought like, you know, that he was kind of sexist for like speaking about how women should get paid less than men or something like that. Do you guys remember that?
No.
I never knew about this.
The news articles that you're bringing up are like very, very
obscure. Yeah, it's big. But it was like, I mean, it makes sense though. But like, it was just like, you know, it was like, and then like, everyone was like, oh, get rid of this guy, whatever. And then like, the Google CEO was like, yeah, let's like fire this guy.
That's the problem. Like, companies, I'm not saying that's right. Right, yeah. Companies are so hypersensitive to who they hire and what they look like, because I feel like it's digging itself its own hole. Like, social media, you could post anything you want, mm-hmm. or like for the most part, post anything you want with the consequences of what you post, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the freedom of having that comes with great responsibility, and having. Posting anything so let's say if a company, right, and they do like a bad post, everyone will know about that controversial issue and they will try to fix it and attack that company. So that's why companies are so reluctant about people who are kind of, they want to find people who are like completely loyal. They want to find people who are like you mentioned, clean cut. They seem perfect, like the most brainwash employee to like listen to all your orders. So that's why they're so afraid of hiring people. Like, I know on YouTube, I followed a lot of the computer science or like the Silicon Valley community of people who are software engineers and companies. So if you guys are like in the software community, you guys probably know about this YouTuber named Tech Lee. And what he used to do, he used to work at Google and Facebook. And especially at Facebook, when he worked there currently, he had a YouTube channel that's just talked about just culture of like computer science and like software engineering, and like his own tips and advice. And that in of itself, Facebook HR was like, we don't like this YouTube channel. Even though it wasn't anything offensive, mm-hmm. vulgar, or anything controversial, they still didn't want to take the chance if he were to say something that might affect the company.
Yeah, even like though, tarnish the brand.
Even though he hasn't done anything to tarnish the brand, because they didn't know about it until then. So
he actually basically did the opposite. He was like trying to like help people. He basically get where they want to be, and like especially like since he works at Facebook, he want to get help other people who wants to work for Facebook.
It was just that he always like kept it as a secret that he said he just works at a company. He never mentioned that he worked at Facebook. But even though like he never mentioned that he worked at Facebook, Facebook still fired him. Even though he had like years of experience and he seemed like a trustworthy person, it's like person you could HR doesn't really care about you. They just care about like how much effort you're putting in and how like effective you are for the company.
Well, see, that's my question at the end of the day is when did image become all that there is? Because like Raphael said earlier about cancel culture, it doesn't even matter how good the product was. And like before a company has this very clean cut image, right? And then they produce a product and everybody loves that product. Until something terrible comes up about the company's image. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh yeah, we do not support this brand anymore. This product is terrible. We're never going to support it. And it's like, it's happening a lot nowadays that it doesn't even matter how great the product was, how effective it was. As soon as the image is ruined, then that company goes into shambles. And it's the same thing with artists nowadays. Like, you can see, like, Kanye West, for example. A lot of people really still love Kanye West. But there was a point in time where he was, like, a Donald Trump supporter. I'm pretty sure he still is. And that really messed him up. And then there was also, like, Kevin Hart, for example. Like, his whole situation with hosting the 80th Oscars, and then people dug up these homophobic comments or homophobic jokes that he made back in like 2010 or
which
like
he already apologized for.
Yeah, but like that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even matter how everyone has to keep this perfect image, but at the same time, we're not machines, we're not meant to be this constantly efficient, constantly perfect person. Like, we're going to make mistakes. So In that aspect, I think that with social media, it kind of erases the chance for anyone to make any mistakes. It's like, you can only show your best self, or otherwise, you're almost banned from society.
Actually, what I think there's like two sections for that, which is one, which is the individual, especially when it comes to celebrities, but then there's companies. When it comes to companies, and like, I'm pretty sure you guys remember this whole Kaepernick controversy about like how he started kneeling and stuff, and how Nike was like used him as an advertisement and just like used one of his quotes, and then literally everyone was like started burning Nike stuff and this shit like that, and then like really that really didn't affect the company, you know. In the end of the day, you already bought the things for like from Nike, so the money Nike still has your money.
Their stock went up too.
Exactly,
their stock went way up after that commercial.
Yeah, and then like, when it comes to an individual, that's when, you know, especially when it comes to actors and stuff like that, it's just like, once that actor is in the controversy, no one will want to hire him simply because of what he had done, or what he has not even done. You just say, you know, some few words already can rip off everyone, you know, like make anyone angry, you know.
Yeah,
it can like affect their life, but the company, it won't really affect the company.
I don't know. I think that we can't talk about Nike, though. Nike is way too big.
Yeah.
But
right,
the way that people use social media these days, or in general with any company, for example, makeup companies get a lot of shit thrown at them because it's this whole entire idea of accepting all groups of all races and them being, for example, it starts something very small, like they're unable to put out a foundation that can represent all races, right? And then it's so easy for anyone to contact this company now. Before, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like you can give a rating on a company back in like 1940s. You used it, and if it didn't work, then you just didn't use it anymore, right? But now with the use of social media, it connects people all the time, and it can become such a negative echo chamber because everyone thinks that their opinion is important, right? But at the end of the day, there's like 7-8 billion people out in the world. Not everybody's opinion is going to be important. And at the same time, you have to earn your opinion in this world nowadays. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't believe that. They can just put whatever they want online. And that's just simply not true. We have to understand that the reason why critics or the reason why people put out opinions is because they want their opinion to be respected, correct? But now in this world full of social media, it's so unhealthy that everyone's opinion on you or on a certain person mm-hmm. is supposed to be valued. And I think that that's really unhealthy because then you don't know which one to listen to and which not to listen to.
You know what you definitely described?
What?
One of the NBA managers. Literally, what? He remembered, like, 2 weeks ago, this NBA team manager, I forgot, it was like the Rockets, something like that. Do you guys not know about that?
Oh, what's the scandal?
About like the Hong Kong thing. He tweeted about Hong Kong. Oh. And like, literally, that one tweet literally like fucked up like the partnership between like one of the Chinese company and the NBA. And then like, it was like that one picture. It wasn't even like a text. It was a picture of support, like this manager supporting Hong Kong mm-hmm. and like the protests. And then, like, China was like, bro, NBA, one of your managers did this shit. I don't like it. And for that, I'm gonna cut you off. And that's what mm-hmm. basically happened. Yeah. And kind of like you said, it was like, they actually went up to the government level of, like, that one thing. Okay, yeah. It could fucked up the whole company, you know? Yeah.
Now that you mention that, now we're gonna get banned from China, right?
Fuck the Chinese government.
No. We're not gonna be controversial.
Now we need to worry about our public image, Raphael.
Yeah, I'm sorry, jeez, man.
Now I can't get hired by a Chinese company.
Sorry, China.
Okay, you guys are taking it into weird territory. Let's just bring it back.
Sorry, Winnie the Pooh.
Okay, but yeah, like I think that in line with what we're saying, because I think we're going down a deep rabbit hole, which we often do in this podcast, we never end up.
I think we got deeper.
I'm sure you guys are probably used to it by now if you listen to all of our episodes.
So yeah, I think that what we're equating social media to is this constant need to worry about our image, right? And it's not just about physicality, but also what we put out into the world, our mentality, or the way that we talk, the things that we believe in, and a long time ago, or not even a long time ago, it wasn't until recently that political agenda or any political belief was so easily broadcasted online, mm-hmm. right? And I think that that's also another unhealthy thing about social media is that everyone is, like I said earlier, in this negative echo chamber where everyone thinks that their opinions are so valued. Mm-hmm. And yeah, everyone is entitled. That doesn't mean that everyone should be bickering and fighting with each other, because it's just a known fact that all of us are different and we're all going to believe mm-hmm. in different things.
Right.
It's...
Preach.
Yeah, and it's really frustrating because, yes, you can use social media to learn more. You can... Now social media has become this information vomit. Like, you can get information from anything and everywhere, and you don't even know if it's the right information, which is really interesting to me.
Which is why it's so popular for the fact that people, like, attack them because of their feelings instead of, like, the information, or look up, like, the real facts of a certain information.
But that's what I'm saying, though. Yeah. Like, social media, or in terms of just, like, Facebook news, how do you know that stuff is real? Because, like... Okay, so I'm a communications major, so I care a lot about how mass media produces information and sends it to the people. Because we as humans all deserve to know the right information, correct?
Right.
But the way that news is now portrayed on social media confuses everybody, because you don't know what's real, what's not real. And it all goes back to image, and it all goes back to even on the surface level of like Kim Kardashian photoshopping her ass, you know? And it's like, you don't know what's real and not real, but you, as people, we trust social media for some reason. We trust it almost inherently because we use it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that leads us to believe that all of the things that we see, all the stimulus that we receive is just real. And I think that's really frustrating. And I'm getting really philosophical here, so cut it.
Yeah, I think... I'm going to be honest. I think in this podcast episode, we definitely got into a lot of big rabbit holes. But what we are doing right, we're talking about the problems of social media. So here comes the question. How do you healthily use social media? What are some of the solutions you guys have faced or have used to kind of combat this?
Go ahead.
For me, I use the detox method. I don't know if you guys have did that.
Just cut it out.
Yeah, the detox method, like the social media detox. Some people take it. So for what people don't know is that since it's become like a lifestyle that we use social media every day now, and some people are addicted, some people are not. But for people who are addicted, like I was addicted, and you could check somehow by looking at like how many hours you use on Instagram. If you have iOS, I don't know about Android, but there's definitely a setting where you could check your phone usage of what apps you use. And believe it or not, for most people, it's going to be at least more than 5 for like all social media apps together, at least.
Yeah.
And like some people, they have like 16 hours, you know? They wake up, they sleep 8 hours, and it's the rest of the 16, they're on their phone 16 hours, regardless if they're like actively using it or like passively using it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I think that's a way to gauge of like how addicted you are to social media.
Right.
And for the detox method, it basically means you take a break from social media for a certain amount of time. So for me personally, I took the longest detox break I ever took was one. The reason why I took it, because I knew I was addicted to social media, because I kept comparing myself to other people, especially when you look at people's stories and they just talk about just certain things that you could get jealous of, or like you compare yourself all like constantly.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I personally had an issue with that. So I knew that I had to not use social media. So starting the summer, beginning of summer, I think junior year, the summer before junior year happened, I haven't used social media for about 2.5 months. And that was the most blissful, like, 2.5 months I've ever had, because I never compared myself to other people. I think I've only used YouTube, I didn't use YouTube excessively. Whereas, like, I use Instagram very excessively.
Yeah.
And I think that was the problem, like we talked about, like Instagram can be really easy to get sucked into,
right?
Because you could just scroll on and scroll on and scroll on, and you like find yourself into a big, you find yourself, you wasted 2 hours of your life sitting on your bed looking at your phone like, oh shit, like I just wasted 2 hours of my life swiping up and down, liking photos and looking at stories. But that, I would say a detox method would do that. You can even take a break. Like, don't even say, I hate when people mention on their story like, I'm gonna take break from social media. Like,
make sure you actually do it, and then, or you were just gonna turn into a meme, you know?
Yeah. I hate when people do that. Like, they literally say, "Yeah, I'm just not feeling myself, man. Like, I'm gonna take a break from social media." And then,
Kevin, our photographer who runs the meal deals.
Instagram. Why you adding him?
He's 2-3 weeks ago he posted. He was like, "I'm just not feeling well. I'm gonna take a break from social media." And I thought that something like big was happening.
Yeah.
And then like he came back 2 days later. I was like, that's not a break. That's like just not using your phone.
Yeah, you're just not even using your phone all whole day.
Yeah, like,
yeah,
like
you're adding him.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's not a bad app.
It's not a bad app. It's just like it's like a poke.
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, Kevin, if you're listening to this, I'm sure like you know us pretty well that we're just joking. Yeah. I mean, it could be.
I'm not.
It's just, yeah, you're not. But it's like literally the same thing we talk about, like in the exercise, like when we mention about exercise, yeah, where people say, "Yeah, I'm like day one journey. Like I'm about to like get on the grind." They go to Planet Fitness for like on the treadmill, take a picture, and like take a picture of themselves in front of the mirror, like day two, and then there's no day three. Like that other story, and like it's all like completely different. They're like eating like junk food and just like why.
I have a question for you, Eric. So after, do you find yourself barely using Instagram after you reinstall it, or like?
I think I barely used it. Yeah, like it was honestly it was a gradual increase. But I'm not gonna lie, after the social media detox, I still felt like I needed to download Instagram. Like, just to get connected to the real world again. Because, like we talked about, it's so implemented into our, like, our lifestyle and our society. It's, like, is now almost a necessity. I would agree. It's a necessity to have internet now, to use the internet. So, I felt like I needed to install Instagram again. And I'm not going to lie, that detox was so blissful. And then, after I installed Instagram for a while, I got high anxiety again. And I was like, wow, that's, like, crazy.
To answer your question on like how to heavily use Instagram, there's two things that you guys must keep in mind. First of all, remind yourself the intentions of social media. First of all, it's basically just sharing simple things that's basically going on with your life, you know. Don't go on social media with the intention of getting quote unquote real facts or real information, you know, because social media wasn't meant to be a news source at all. It was never meant to be a news source. And I always get like so angry by like just saying this, because a lot of people spread information so like really quickly. Well, I'm sharing news and everything on Instagram. Yes, it's okay that you're really you're really standing up for something that you believe in, but in the same time, don't they do it in a way of like, if you see like a post of what's going on around the world, that something's so bad, and then like you've seen it and then like, oh my god, I need to share this, you know, like first of all,
that's another thing that we can like talk about too.
The Brazil one,
like the Amazon fires, things like that. It's just like, just go there just to see like what's up with people, you know, what they're doing, like look at memes, look at some funny stuff, you know, something that was meant to be an entertainment and not a news source.
You should have the mindset of always being a skeptic. Like when you, especially for news sources, when you read information, you shouldn't take it at face value.
Yeah, face value.
Face value that you, okay, like you, this must be right. I mean, it looks credible. It has like the right pictures. It looks smart.
But it looks
is it? So that's why you really need to back it up and research all what, like, trace those footsteps to its main source. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can make your own decision if it's factual or not.
Right. If there anything that I learned from social media is that it turned me into a skeptic, only because of the information that has been spread. And I'm like, I'm not here for fucking information. I'm just here for memes. That's it. But, like, another thing that you guys should also keep in mind is that, you know, not everyone is perfect. Once you look at someone and see, like, I don't know, they got a brand new car or whatever, well, that's just their highlights, you know? Like, you have to remind yourself that everything that seems kind of perfect to you, it's just their highlights of their life. No one's life is perfect. Yeah. They put, like, through that, behind that post, it could be, like, some whatever suffering they've been going through, you know? Everyone's just going through everything.
Everyone is going through everything.
That's a deep quote. Everyone is going through everything.
That's true, though. It's just like, always have that mindset during social media, you know? Social media is never perfect.
Yeah.
We're not angels, so we're all, like, victims of it. Like, even, I can't help but, like, the Joe Rogan podcast, they talked about social media, too. And they mentioned, like, they're victims of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
But it's at least we're aware of it.
Yeah.
Some people are just, like, so obsessed with it.
Yeah. It's just, like, a lot of people will be like, oh, my God, everyone's life is so perfect. I don't get it. Why? But mine is just so shitty, whatever. It's, like, it's just not that.
Look at our feeds. We don't, like, put out our worst, like, moments in life. but yeah. you always see the highlights of our life. We're like good pictures of us.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, of course. And like, you know, it just, again, just look at social media just as entertainment. Something like that, just to put yourself in reality instead of like, put a way of reality. Something like how you go on YouTube and watch, I don't know, animations and stuff, things like that.
It should be like that in the first place. Like, people think that Instagram is real. That it's reality. It's not. It's supposed to be like an escape from reality.
Exactly.
And in the way of like being the best parts of yourself, you're almost curating yourself. You're almost creating yourself in a new light, right? And it should be fun. It shouldn't be sad. It shouldn't be like upsetting or it shouldn't bring up feelings of jealousy or insecurity. It's all supposed to be fun at the end of the day.
Yeah, a lot of us tend to forget that simple intentions of what social media is supposed to be, you know? And now, especially thanks to Donald Trump, and ever since 2016, like you know, we don't like him, but we all have to agree that 2016 changed history, you know?
It was fucking a roller coaster.
Yeah. Like, before that, you know, like, since when was there any, like, controversy was barely a word that, like, before 2016. Well, but not as big, you know?
Yeah, not as big.
Yeah, not as big. It wasn't like...
It was like, there wasn't a controversy every other day.
Exactly. Yeah. Now that Donald Trump is just posting Twitter, and now then everyone keep our eyes on him. Now we have to keep our eyes to everyone on Twitter, especially celebrities, since it's like they're in a high rank in the hierarchy, like Donald Trump, you know?
I think that, I mean, now that we're going in like a circle. So Eric talked about his methods. Raph talked about his. I think that my method is looking at social media in a more positive light. I've been going on this positivity kick for a while now, and I don't know what it is.
It's us. It's the Meal Deals podcast.
Yeah, it's the Meal Deals podcast. But I think that what's most important is I've changed the... Not only reminding myself that the information on there is supposed to be fun, but also changing the information that I take in. So... Like we talked about in the last podcast, I said something along the lines, quoting someone from Joe Rogan, still haven't figured out the name.
Naval.
I apologize. Naval. You know, the idea that reality is neutral, but it's just that our perceptions and the way that we think and the things that we believe, they're the ones that, those are the things that shape our reality, right? So I consciously just make the choice that whenever I'm going on any social media platform, I'm taking information that's useful to me. I'm taking information that nourishes my mind and what makes me feel good about myself, as opposed to things that would make me feel awful about myself. Mm-hmm. And for example, I think that's the intention of fitness girls in the first place, or like just fitness people in general. It's showing that progress and being happy with your mind and your body, because I think that a lot of people take fitness and turn it into such a negative thing, because it becomes such an easy target for insecurity, or an easy trigger for like feeling insecure. But it shouldn't be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Okay, don't laugh.
No, when you said trigger, we Rafa and I would just make this like shaking noise. It's like it's like the effect. It's like trigger.
You know, so we just shake our head like really rapidly. Like
yeah, but I agree with you.
Yeah, and I think that very recently, throughout the summer of 2019, and recently just figuring out where I am in my headspace, I figured out that for a long time I was in this negative place, and it was because of the media that I consume and the people that I talk to and the people that I interact with online too. So being aware of that, being aware of the information that I take in, whether it's good, valuable information, something that makes me a better person than I am yesterday, that's what makes... That's my interpretation or my method of how to healthily use social media.
I would like to give a great example of what there was this profile that Victoria shared us.
Yeah.
It was like every single like motivational quote unquote quote of like, you know, it'd be like, "You're gonna be fucking great today," you know?
Yeah.
Or like it literally every so post is just saying fucking. Yeah, it's just like, but look, the way like they word it is just like, you know, she's pulling up Victoria's an example right now.
Yeah, I shared it with these guys.
I actually really liked it, you know. He's like, "You be fucking great today," or like,
yeah,
"You do like."
I'll try to find out right now.
Believe in your fucking self. Yeah. Something like that.
So the Instagram is called Good Design Advice. Good DSGN Advice. That's their profile name. And one of the posts, it says, "Believe in your fucking self." And they always give a little paragraph right next to the quote. And I think... This is the exact kind of information that I need, because there are a lot of people that lack motivation, right? And then they go on Instagram and then their insecurity is highlighted, which increases their lack of motivation. And people don't need that. People need to go on there and like actively find things like this. So for example, I'll read it real quick. I'll start in the middle actually. "A moment of compassion disrupts a wave of brutality. A single act redefines a lifetime. A single innovation displaces an industry. The smallest application of force becomes devastating power when properly timed. You contain infinitely more than you lack. Your limitations are in your head, not in the hand you've been dealt. Find your fucking moment." And I think that those kind of messages, that's what you need on social media platforms.
Mm-hmm.
Because... I never had that a lot in my life. I've never had someone tell me that I could be worth something. And that's like, people need to hear that sometimes. Like, they're not convinced of that. And when they go on social media platforms, they find something that they can relate to rather than something that could get them back on the horse, get them back into a state of mind where they feel like they can achieve something. And I think that's how you healthily use social media, is you know, you have to make Instagram your friend, not something that constantly like mirrors back all your insecurities at you, you know? And it took me a long time to figure that out. It wasn't until very recently that I became more positive about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all because of the media that I consume. And it's the same thing for these guys, too. I think they got me on the positivity track because of the things that they watch. I mean, Eric watches a lot of that
positivity. Well, Eric is, like, the master at this. Because, like, I will follow Eric, and now Victoria following us.
Yeah.
So we're creating this whole train effect.
I follow the positive people on the internet. It's a big double-edged sword. I think it's related to social media, too.
Yeah.
Like, you could watch all the motivational videos you could watch. But, like, it's up to you to make the decision. So I kind of see it as, like, a complimentary thing.
Yeah.
You know?
There has to be one, though. There has to be, like... There's always that one line or that one quote that pushes you. And you're like, shit, dude. Maybe I do need to do something.
The one quote I still remember to this day, and it was almost 4 years ago. And it was the quote, "If you died and then you see all the possibilities," or like, "If you died and you're in your coffin and your family's around you, your friends and family, and then not only your friends or family, but you see all the possibilities or all the things that you could have done in your life, what would you have seen?"
Bro, like, that's fucked.
Yeah, that gave me thinking. And I was like, what, like 15? I was like, yo, I'm not supposed to think this. But like, that's what people says, like, you shouldn't think that way. But it really got me thinking, like, what do I want to do in my life? What do I want to do? He kept continuing. Was like, what about that book you never ran? What about that race or that athlete you could have been? Or what about that college you would have went to? Or what would have been the things you would have done if you have actually done it?
Yeah.
So that really got me thinking. And I think that gave me the momentum to keep pushing forward and keep searching for answers.
Yeah. I think that we're going to end this podcast with a bunch of quotes. But I also have another one that's similar to that, and it's by Sylvia Plath, which is one of the most amazing poets. She was like deeply, deeply mentally ill, though. But she wrote, I think that it was in the Bell Jar that she was talking, she wrote a poem about a fig tree. And it was this idea that there was a girl standing in front of a fig tree, and she was just looking up. And I can't quote it right now, but it's like, there are a bunch of figs on top of the fig tree, and those are all the possibilities, right? And looking up, like, one fig is like a, you can be a doctor, be a lawyer, or you can, you know, date this person or that person, be with this person, or travel to India or China, or like all these things. And I'm really upset with myself that I can't quote it, but, and then it ends with this idea that this girl ends up letting all of these figs drop down to her feet because she was too busy pondering which one to choose. And I think that it's literature like that, poetry like Sylvia Plath, that puts you in the mindset that I need to do something with my fucking life. Or just some motivational speaker. Like, even Joe Rogan, when he's fucking talking on and on about exercise, he gets me to get up jump rope.
I watch his videos too.
Yeah. But, like, that's what I'm saying. People, I put a post up a while ago about this idea of spiritual and mental food. I don't know if you guys read about that. But people are so deprived of that. Especially on social media. When, like, social media is so malleable. You know, it's not, like, this fixed idea. Mm. You can go on there and you can curate what you get. The things that you read. But people don't choose that. And right. At the end, I think that how to healthily use social media is to remind yourself that it's a choice for you to go on there.
Right.
That it's a choice for you to listen to the things that you listen to and read the things that you read. And most often people don't believe that.
Mm-hmm.
They think that they're compelled to be the way that they are, and that's not true. And if people were just aware of that, aware of the messages they get online, and figured out the right people to listen to online, I think that would make a lot of the problems that they have go away.
Mm-hmm. Boom! Mic drop.
Let's drop this mic.
Like, we'll drop this mic right now.
Nah, we ain't gonna.
Yeah, we don't have the money.
We're broke. But it kind of like what Victoria described is like, but for at least in my situation, ever since I started using Instagram, I already knew it's gonna be a fucking shit show on Instagram, so. I think this should definitely apply to you guys, to you listeners, is that don't let social media affect your choices at all, especially if you're going through some hard times. It's just like, what the hell did, like, what is social media is gonna, like, how, like, think about it physically. Mm-hmm. When did social media prevent you to do something that you want to do?
Yeah.
Never. Exactly. Just this is probably not going to be motivational enough, like, just like Eric or Victoria just said, but, like, do what you want to do, as long as it benefits your life, too, you know, don't do drugs or drink, but, like, it's just, like, do what you want to do, because no one's stopping you, you know, yeah. And just be, and...
No one's stopping you, but at the same time, don't do drugs.
Yeah, exactly, yeah, but we already said this in the podcast, this quote from Jordan Peterson: do not compare to someone else on social media today or outside of social media today. Compare to yourself or who you were yesterday. And that's the way that how you can improve yourself.
Raph, that quote was the most motivational of our quotes, I felt like. So you did a great job. Yeah, I definitely agree with that quote.
So ever since, even before I heard that quote, I always have this fixed mindset of, you know, I'll do what I want to do. I don't, like, it doesn't matter if it's kind of, like, go against your family image, or, like, especially if your family are, like, definitely not known to be educational, then you turn yourself educational, you know? You have your damn choices.
Chase your own goals.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Your own goals.
Be aware.
Exactly.
So, I think this was a great podcast episode.
We went very deep.
We went very deep. We scattered across a lot of rabbit holes and interesting discussions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About
YouTube, China's government, fitness industry with influencers, protein powder,
and
but back to social media, because it all connects in the full circle.
I think, like I said earlier, I knew that we were gonna head to a rabbit hole, so that's why I declared it before we went in there, because I knew that if we went into it without at least notifying our audience, people would be like, "Yo, what the hell are they talking about?" Right now? Yeah. So I think that it was a really amazing podcast episode, and we're really happy that you stuck around for a whole hour to listen to us. So if you want to reach out to us, our email is officialmealdeals@gmail.com. And correct, if you want to follow us on Instagram, all of our personal profiles are on there, but our podcast page is Official Meal Deals. Okay. So we'll see you next week.
See ya.
See ya.